chapter 3 there for a minute. We're not going to be there for long, but we'll start there. You've got to have a text. That's just the Baptistic way. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. Genesis 3:14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and I shall bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto the man Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty, power, wisdom, and unction to preach. I pray, O God, give us clearness of thought and the ability to convey what's on our heart and our mind, Lord, that the people might take with them when they leave the intent, not just the letter, but the spirit of the message. And I pray, O God, help us to understand it, discern it, and absorb it. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. A number of years ago now, we launched a war against Iraq because of an oppressive dictator named Saddam Hussein. He is a cold-blooded killer, a murderer of his own people. He had over 200,000 of his own people murdered simply because they disagree with him on a religious doctrinal point. They're of the same faith. They were all Muslims. But he had them killed anyway because there's some little doctrinal difference they don't agree about. Now, we don't do it that way here. We start a new denomination. It's reported that Saddam Hussein met with his cabinet. One of them disagreed with him. He asked the fellow to step out in the hall with him. He stepped out in the hall, and when they closed the door, Saddam pulled a .45 from his belt, shot the guy in the back of the head, and went back to the meeting and appointed somebody to take his place. He was a very mean man, very cold-blooded man. And the weapons of mass destruction were there, by the way. This is just for your information. They just managed to get him out of the country before we got the invasion underway. But they were there. Anyway, President George Bush launched a war to finish what his daddy started and didn't finish. And it was going to be called Shock and Awe. And boy, we went in with them cruise missiles and all that stuff, and we did a number. We didn't do as... I really liked the tactics better under Schwarzkopf in the first war than in the second. But anyway, we spent millions, billions of dollars, and kicked butt, took names, and it was great. And Baghdad fell. They toppled the statue of Saddam. He went into hiding like the rat that he was. And things were really going good, and we were popular, and everybody loved us, and all that. And President George Bush had a great big banner made that stretched from one side to the other of the island superstructure on one of the world's largest aircraft carriers. And the banner read, it had two words on it. It said, "Mission accomplished." It wasn't. We had won a battle in the war, but we had not won the war. To say the very least, the banner was premature. Because now years after that event, we're still fighting that war. We're winning it, but it's not over yet. To say mission accomplished was erroneous at best. It was true, in a sense. We had accomplished the mission, at least the short-term mission, in that we had taken Baghdad and driven Saddam Hussein from power. But the mission wasn't complete in an overall sense because we had not established peace in the region. So, and the real objective of the war was not just to get rid of Saddam, it was to bring stability and peace to an entire region of the world. And so while you could, in a technical sense, say, yes, that's correct, mission accomplished, Baghdad fell, Saddam is gone, it would still have been terribly incorrect and presumptuous to conclude that the entire mission was accomplished. It isn't accomplished today. I got to thinking about that. It's a terrible thing to think. And so most Americans have given it up, and they just let the talking heads on TV do it. But I got to thinking about it, and I thought, you know, there are any number of ways that that scenario is repeated in the lives of people day after day after day in this old world. I thought about it. I want to bring you a message this morning on that thought. Mission accomplished. Because in our life, in our world, we endeavor to do certain things. We have certain targets that we can get to. And our expectation is that when we get to that point, mission accomplished. And that little specified portion is done. I grant you that. Yet, on the grander scale, the mission is not accomplished. It's like Bush and the Iraqi war. One objective, see? But when you say, we're going to war, we're going to take Iraq, there's more implicit in that statement than just the taking of a city or the dethroning of a dictator. Everybody knows and everybody expects that when you start a war, that the goal is to establish peace. See? And so without having to put it in words, without having to verbalize it or visualize it, we instinctively know that if we go to war, the objective is, okay, take this town, take this hill, and all that, and you can say mission accomplished in that limited sense, but in the overall perspective, there was a lot more implied in going to war than those limited things. The whole objective transcends all of those independent parts, and we're not really mission accomplished until we're at peace. Okay? Now, with that framework, that thought in your mind, I want to point out a couple of things and illustrate that from our own lives, and then I want to show you something from the Word of God. I'm going to give you two examples or three just to illustrate this point from a personal and a practical perspective. Because I think we go at life with short-range targets. And we go at life thinking, if I acquire this, if I accomplish this, mission accomplished, and we give little or no thought to the overview, the overall thing, and then when we get here, we're looking saying, now what? Or we get here and we say, mission accomplished, only to find out that there are all kind of things that we now have to do because we've gotten to this point. So I'm going to try and illustrate that for you. Illustration number one. Let's illustrate this. Every young person, me, you, your kids, their kids, my grandkids, we put them in school and we want to educate them. And we've passed certain laws that you can do certain things at certain ages. You know, you turn, I don't know, 16 or whatever it is, you can get a driver's license. You turn 18, you become legally responsible as an adult. You can join the military. You know, you can, it's all, and so we have all these little things. And so the average young person grows up, and in their mind, their mission in life, their objective, their goal, is to graduate from high school and turn 18. Because when you do, you're an adult. And so, all through their young lives, they're just waiting for the day when you can't tell them what to do anymore. Because they're an adult. I'm 18 and you can't tell me what to do anymore. Wrong. As long as you eat my groceries, parking your shoes in my house, I tell you what to do. You want to lead your own life? Move your little butt right out that front door and don't bring it back. Amen. But kids have got it in their mind. The mission in life is to finish high school and turn 18. Glory to God. That is the epiphany. That's the climax. That's the apex. If I just make it through high school and turn 18, I'm an adult. Nobody can tell me what to do. I can lead my own life. So they get that high school diploma and that birthday party. They have arrived. And you know what they say? Mission accomplished. I'm 18, I'm out of high school, and I am my own man, I am my own woman. Sounds good, doesn't it? A little short-sighted. Actually, you only mission accomplished a little objective in the real mission. You see, that school, that 18, so that you have some sort of maturity, Those are not end goals. When we tell young people that when you get that high school diploma and you reach this age, hopefully you're mature enough and educated enough to begin to live. This doesn't mean you're qualified and certified in all aspects and all respects of adulthood and decision making and wage earning and it's like when I got my pilot's license. I was stationed down in Kingsville, Texas, and I wanted to learn to fly airplanes, and they had a little airport right out there from the naval base, and I went out and found out what it was going to cost. I got the money. I went down and paid the whole thing up front, and the guy said, "Well, nobody does it that way." So everybody pays it as they go. In case you don't like it or, you know, I said, "Buddy, here's my money, take it. I'm going to start and I'm going to finish. That's just the way I am." And so I gave him my money, they took it, and 5.1 hours later, I soloed. 4.5 weeks later, I went up, took my test, and got my pilot's license. When I got my pilot's license, mission accomplished, right? You know what the guy said to me? He said, made me mad too. Boy, I was so aggravated with him. But it turned out he was a prophet of some sort. He said, "Mr. Hensley," he said, "this is your license to learn how to fly." I mean, that's just not good for your ego. But it turned out he's absolutely right. And after a while, I figured that out, and I went down in a role in a program to get a commercial pilot's license. The mission wasn't accomplished here. I mean, sure, I had that short term, I had that piece of paper, but, and kids do that with that birthday and that certificate. Man, it's like you're going to turn into some kind of little god or something. Something magical happens when you get that diploma in this hand and that 18th birthday certificate in this hand. Everyone said, "Mission accomplished. I made it." But then you realize you've got to live life. And implied in mission accomplished here, implied in becoming an adult, this was just a stepping stone in preparation for a life that's going to last another 40, 50, 60 years. But we give the young people the wrong mindset. They think there's something special or peculiar happens here that enables them or transforms them into some kind of special creature or superpower with the grasping of that sheepskin and an 18th birthday. And nothing could be further from the truth. Hopefully, if they've been trained right and got these 18 years in this paper, they are now equipped to become adults. You see my point? I'm trying to get you, I want to illustrate that. A lot of times we cry mission accomplished way too soon. And because we do that, because we fixate on a local target that is quickly obtainable, once it's obtained, it leaves us in a valley. It leaves us without a goal, without purpose. We get disoriented because we've disassociated this thing from the context of our whole life. Be this one. Every young person, and I used to be one, and it has not been so long ago that I don't recall what it was like. I heard Dr. Dobson a while back, and he said that boys between the ages of 13 and 25 think about sex every 10 seconds. I thought, really? Some guys can go that long? We grow up, and in the back of our mind, in some fashion or another, for boys anyway, or at least when I was growing up, I don't know what this new generation is going through. I mean, I've lost touch, if you just want to be honest. But we used to, we grew up anticipating, planning on, a man's lot in life was to work. And so I grew up expecting, after high school, to get a job and get a wife. That's just what you do. You grow up, you get married, start a family. Amen? Girls, and I hope I'm getting close to right here, girls grow up with somewhat the same perceptions, but theirs are, they're not going to get a job and get a husband. They're going to grow up, get a husband, and start a family. They're going to have children. That's a pretty normal, pretty right concept. Now, it's a little twisted these days. They want to grow up and get a job and get somebody to live with. You know, and we're not into all that. It was the right concept. Well, if we're going to grow up, get a husband, and have children. Man was going to grow up, get a job, and get a wife. Amen? And so, time passes, and we get out of high school, or back in our day, close to out of high school, and you find a little old girl, and you fall in love with her. She just rings your bell, and every time you get around her, your blood pressure goes up. And I mean, there ain't nothing in the whole planet as pretty as she is. You like to watch her walking at you. You like to watch her walking away from you. You like to talk to her. You like to smell her perfume. You like to see her smile. I mean, she's just everything in the world to you. And that little girl's found that same little old boy, and she's all in love and this, that, and the other, you know, and all she thinks about is getting married and getting a little house with a white picket fence and having three or four little rugrats with snotty nose and crumb crunchers and all that stuff. And then the day comes, and he's found the right girl, and she's found the right guy, and they're in love, and they're out of high school and they're adults and they set a wedding date. And the day comes and they walk down the aisle and her dad gives her away and they look at each other and say, I do. And they take that first tentative kiss. Because they ain't been smooching before they got married. Because they Christian young people. Amen. And mission accomplished. I grew up. I became an adult. I've got a wife. I've got a job. A little old girl strutting around the same way. I don't know how girls strut around. I hope it's not like this. You know? However they do it. And she's saying, got through high school, got that degree, became an adult, got me a husband, I'm going to start a family. Mission accomplished. Really? You're just starting on a long, treacherous, painful learning process. I'm not saying painful in the sense that there's no joy or that it's not worth it, but I'm telling you what, buddy, living life ain't easy. It never ceases to amaze me that girl that put you in a swoon 3, 4, 5 years ago is now blasé. And the other girls are prettier than her. What happened? Anyway, I'm not going to get off on that. That's a whole different message. My point is, we think that when we get to that point, you know, well, I've got a job, I've got a wife, and we're starting a family. I've arrived. Mission accomplished. Really? Son, you're just starting to learn how to live with a woman. You're going to spend the next 40, 45, 50, 60 years, whatever God gives you, trying to figure her out. It ain't going to take you long to figure out girls ain't like boys. And it ain't just physiology either, son. They don't not just made different. They think different. If you can call what women do thinking. And ladies, you're going to find out that guy that was Prince Charming and there was no rust on his armor and there were no dents in his armor. You're going to find out he's got some habits that's going to just drive you up the wall. And you're going to think you're going to change him. I got news for you. You ain't going to change him because that's what he is. Amen. Anybody that goes into marriage thinking that you're going to change your mate, you're out of your ever-loving mind. If God don't change them, they just don't get changed. I'll tell you what you do. You either end up getting a divorce or you learn to live with most of that. Amen? Now, what are you saying? I'm saying mission accomplished. I'm married. I got a wife. Or I'm married. I got a husband. I got a job. She's got young'uns. That ain't really mission accomplished. That's short-term mission accomplished. Now you got to learn how to adjust and give and take and work it out and compromise and learn how to live with somebody else under the same roof day in and day out for the next 30, 40, 50 years. And by the way, don't be a scumbag dropout and say, well, we'll just get a divorce. Listen, you're going to go through the same thing with the next one. Hey, dummy, you was halfway through it with this one. You're just going to start with a new one. Amen? Don't be dumb. You're halfway through, son. Tough it out. Life is a long process of learning and adjusting. You think it's hard living a wife? You're going to have to raise them young'uns. You say, oh, mission accomplished, we're married, we've started a family, I got a job, we're going to have young'uns. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, now you got her, you got to live with her. Now you got them, now you got to raise them. You're talking about all your money and all your time and all your energy. You're talking about wanting to pull your hair out. You want to strangle them sometimes. 1 minute you're proud, boy, because they've done something good and everybody's talking about how smart they are, how clever they were, how talented and this, that, and the other. And you're strutting your stuff and the next minute they've done something dumb and stupid and ignorant and you're embarrassed and ashamed and you're ready to choke the life out of them. You thought mission accomplished back here. It ain't accomplished yet. Y'all begin to see my point. Old George Bush said, mission accomplished. But it wasn't. And a lot of times in life, we set these short-term goals and we can get there. But there's so many other things implicit in that goal that you can't just look at it and say, mission accomplished. Because all the stuff that was inherent in it and attendant upon it is yet to be accomplished. Like this. People say, we come under conviction. Lord deals with us. God sends a soul winner by. We stop by a church service. We hear it on the radio. Of course, it's getting harder and harder to hear it on the radio. And it's getting harder and harder to hear it in church. But we hear the gospel. God begins to deal with us. And we figure out we're a sinner. We're going to die and go to hell just as sure as there's a God up in glory. And you know what we think? If I get saved and my sins are forgiven, mission accomplished. I just want to get saved. I want to know I'm a child of King. I want to know I'm going home to glory. And if God will have me, boy, I'm going to fall on my face and surrender my life and say, Lord, save me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And God does. You fall down, you cry out to God, and the Lord has mercy, and God saves you. You know what the average Christian does right at that moment, that new convert? Mission accomplished. That's all he's interested in. They thought it was all over with. That's all that was required. That was all that was expected. Just surrender yourself to God and get saved and born again by the grace of God. When you do that, mission accomplished. Well, I preach, I tell you right now, I'm a Christian. I'm saved by God's grace. I remember when I got born again. Well, I've been quickened by the Holy Ghost. I'm saved, sealed, sanctified, filled. Hallelujah. Mission accomplished. No. Short-term mission. But it's premature. You say, why? Because you haven't run your race yet. It's not over with. It's not finished. It's not complete. Just when you get saved. You're supposed to live for God. You're supposed to walk circumspectly. You're to be an ambassador. You're a representative for Jesus Christ. Your life now belongs to Him. But so many people sitting on church pews these days think it's all over with when there's no more sin. Let me illustrate one more time and we'll get to the message. Sometimes people conclude mission accomplished when they can see the goal in sight. For example, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, you know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown. You know what he's saying? Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. I got saved. God put me in a ministry. I've been faithful. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. It's time for me to go home. Mission accomplished. I got to admit, that one's a pretty good one. You know, I really think I'd be reasonably happy if I get that far. If I get down to the end without blowing it. If I get down to the end without ruining it. If I get down to where it's time to die and I could honestly say I've kept the faith, I fought a good fight, I might be willing to conclude mission accomplished. I got thinking about that. And while that is an objective of every Christian, every saved person ought to desire in the depth of their soul to get down to the end of their life and turn, look back at that trail of footprints they left and say, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Every Christian ought to desire that. That ought to be the testimony of every saved man, woman, boy, and girl in the whole world. But the more I thought about it, I thought, is that really mission accomplished? And maybe I'm nitpicking. Maybe I'm straining at a gnat. But I concluded, no. That is in reality still a short-term objective. When I got saved, I want more out of my salvation than just to finish it without disgracing my Lord or myself. So, well, preacher, what do you want? I want to hear Matthew 25:21. The mission is not really accomplished, in my opinion, until I hear these words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, it's not my approval of my life. It's not my understanding of what I've accomplished. My standards are considerably lower than the Lord's. I'm quick to pat myself on the back and conclude that I've done a good job and that I've suffered for Christ. I can look back on my 36 years if I go home today and say, there never has been a time when I was out of church. There's never been a day when somebody knocked on my door and said, we've been missing you. You see what I'm saying? I try to be diligent and faithful. I can look back and say, so far, as far as I've come, I fought a good fight. Now, whether I have or not, I don't know. But, you know, I'm willing to concede that I've done okay. Aren't you? But it's not my approval, and it's not even your approval that I'm looking for. You can't tell me mission accomplished. I got to hear that from the lips of Jesus Christ. It's when He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lewis, I had determined you were faithful. I, Jesus Christ, declare that you did a good job. Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. That's what we're striving for. It's not the approval of men. It's not even my approval of myself. It's when He who died for me says, well done. Then you can lift your head and say, mission accomplished. What was your mission? I pleased Him that called me. I pleased Him that saved me. Mission accomplished. They said, what has that got to do with the text you read? Well, I had to walk around the block to get there, didn't I? Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, which is what we read, you see there that Satan has deceived Eve. She beguiles her husband. He sins, and sin enters into the world. And so twice in those two verses, it mentions a thing called curse. God cursed the serpent, and God cursed the earth. Placed a terrible curse on it. Thorns and thistles, briars. Women going to have to bring forth children with sorrow. Men going to have to work and eat the bread, their bread in the sweat of their face. Sin brought death. All the disease you see, all the killing, all the war, all the pestilence, every evil thing in the world. When God created it, He looked at it and said, it's good, it's good, it's good. And then because of sin, He had to curse it all. And there hasn't been much good going on for the last 6,000 years. Now, I read that so that it will give you context for this. In John chapter 17 and verse 4, Jesus said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Mission accomplished. I finished. When he died on the cross, you know what he said? It is finished. What's finished? The work that God gave him to do. What work was that? The redemption of mankind. But that was a short-term victory. That's a short-term goal. He had to come and live and die and live a sinless life and die on Calvary's cross and die a substitutionary death and vicarious death and all that to save mankind. And now, so what happened after that? 2,000 years of church history. He said it's finished, but it's been going on for 2,000 years. Now, it was finished in that limited sense, but in the overall scope of the redemption of mankind, I didn't get saved when he cried on the cross. I got saved 1,972 years later. See? So when he said it's finished, the mission was accomplished short term, but the long term effect, the outworking of that victory here on Calvary has been going on for 2,000 years. It's actually been going on since Genesis 3, 14 through 17, when God placed a curse on the planet and on mankind because of sin. Now, he came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to provide salvation for mankind. He said, it is finished. Yet we continue to see the outworking of that. You say, well, when will it be finished then? I'm glad you asked me that. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 through 3, you know what it says? And there shall be no more curse. What did we start with in Genesis 3? Cursed Satan, cursed be the earth, cursed be the ground. Right? Jesus was to come and wage a war against evil and against Satan and against sin. And he won the victory that ensured that that would happen back on Calvary. But it's been 2,000 years in completion. And while there was a limited, it is finished, mission accomplished, back here in John 17, it was premature in the sense that the outworking of that victory was yet to be realized. But the day is coming. The day is coming. When Jesus Christ will say, and there shall be no more curse. It's finished. The battle is won. The redemption of mankind, the redemption of a cursed planet, mission accomplished. I'm looking for, longing for, anticipating that day when my Savior will declare, when God Himself will say, mission accomplished. And it won't be tenuous. It won't be incomplete. There will be nothing left to do. There will be nothing left implied in the statement. Everything that could possibly be embraced by that statement will be in the past tense. It will be over. It will be complete. And Jesus can say, mission accomplished, and there will be nothing left to do. I don't know if that message excites y'all or not, but I had the best time putting that thing together. That just thrills my soul to know that that day is coming. When we hear the Commander-in-Chief, the Captain of our salvation, say, mission accomplished. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. I hope that encourages you this morning. I hope it really helps you to realize that life doesn't stop with reachable or obtainable goals. Those are just little signposts along the way. Those are little places to pause and refresh. They're little places to prepare you and equip you for the greater journey. Don't ever think that just getting out of high school or turning a certain age or getting married or getting that first job or having that first... Those aren't goals in and of themselves. You need a much larger scope. You need to see a much bigger picture. Lest you grow weary and fall by the wayside. Every goal, every mission accomplished along the way is but a stepping stone to the conclusion. And if you'll take that approach, you'll not grow weary in well-doing. You'll not fall by the wayside. Because you won't have unrealistic expectations. If you think that to graduate from high school and turn 18 is the climax of your life, the next 60 years are empty and pointless. If you think that to get a wife or get a husband and get a job and have children is the zenith of your life, you're going to be sorely disappointed and without purpose or direction for the rest of your life. If you think to get saved is the apex of Christian living, you are sadly mistaken. If you think to say mission accomplished because you've gotten victory here or over this or about that is the height of your Christian experience, you are going to be sadly disappointed. The mission is not accomplished until the curse is removed, Satan is in prison, man has everlasting life, and your Savior looks at you and points His finger at your face and says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Then you can say, mission accomplished. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. Lord, help us to understand. Help us to prepare. Help us to settle it in our mind that we are here for the long haul. And while we might rejoice and say mission accomplished about this little thing and mission accomplished about that little thing, the mission, the whole mission, everything covered under the banner of the mission isn't accomplished. And we must persevere, we must hang in, we must be diligent, we must be faithful until that day when every part, every aspect of the mission is done and won. And at last we can breathe a sigh of relief and say, mission accomplished. We thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen.